Cowardice is the white man's survival strategy. Note that Glenn Miller is not a creator and does not espouse creativity. We don't agree with the Christianity, talking about God and so forth, but with the general message of this article. By Glenn Miller. Cowardice has been the white man's prime survival strategy for at least the last 4 decades, and it afflicts us all, to one degree or another. Cowardice, you see, makes our lives easier and safer. It's politically correct, the national status quo, what's expected, and is demanded by popular culture. It is impossible for any white man to be a real man in this Jew-created and ruled society, which forbids white men to unite and stick together. White men can only pretend to be men, and even then, fool no one but themselves. Alone, we have no choice but to be cowards. Only when we come together into white organizations and are under strong leaders can we begin to regain our manhood. White cowardice is like the proverbial elephant in the kitchen no one speaks about. But it's there, and everybody knows it, and it gets bigger and stinks more every day. The blacks, Hispanics, and Asians stick together. But whites do not. And all the races know it. These facts are deeply ingrained into our minds. It's the American culture now, the American perception, and an undeniable fact of American life. Each white man is like a small island surrounded by a violent sea of colored humanity. Every time we leave our homes and go out into public life, we all know damn well that if we get into a fight with a black or Hispanic for whatever reason, other blacks or Hispanics will jump in, especially if we get the best of our opponent. And we also know that other white men will not jump in, no matter how brutally we are beaten. It's no win situation for us. And so, since we know this fact of public life beforehand, we automatically act and speak cowardly in order to defuse the confrontation so as to avoid the fight we know we lose. Sometimes, we try to laugh it off, humor our colored antagonists into nonviolence. White children see and naturally emulate this and similar cowardly behavior. The typical white schoolboy, so accustomed to black and Hispanic machoism and white cowardice, is delighted when his older sister dates a black or Hispanic. It makes school life safer and easier. He'll be treated with more respect. His white peers will even envy his good fortune. Racial insanities continue and increase with each dwindling white generation. White women have learned well through experience and by societal norms that white men will not, and should not, protect them. After all, women have been liberated. They're equal. White men have been liberated from the historical duty to defend white women. Zuck's laws and Jews media's political correctness says so. Defending white woman will be seen as racist. Let the cops defend them. So what if tens of thousands of them are raped and hundreds of thousands are assaulted yearly by black men? Neither the media, politicians, nor society makes a fuss about it. Why should I stick my neck out? Hell, I might be attacked myself if I get involved or even discuss the problem in public. Besides, I can always come up with an excuse. Play it safe. Don't get involved. Go with the smart money. Let somebody else do it. Part 2. Women have always chosen cowardice and slavery over war and violence for the obvious reason they're the weaker sex. And they have responded to white male cowardice in the only way they could. They kiss up to every male but white once. And kissing up is politically correct, perfectly acceptable to all. The Jews media, especially TV sitcoms, teaches white women how to interact properly with colored men in all situations. To interact differently is not in the white woman's self-interests. Not politically correct. Not good for her survival strategy. Mustn't take the chance of being seen as racist. My cousin, a Greyhound bus driver for 35 years, confided, Glenn, guess what? When I retire next September, I'm gonna put a rebel flag in front of my house. I'm not kidding, Glenn. I'm really gonna do it. I couldn't do nothing or say nothing all these years 'cause I'd have been fired. I tried unsuccessfully, for over 30 years, to convince him to join or support the white movement. My son just returned to South Sioux City, Nebraska to visit his best friend. They'd been racist pals when we resided there years earlier. Jess' friend now displays a bumper sticker on his auto, "Aracism." When Jess asked why, he said shamefacedly, "It makes life easier." When I tried to strike up conversations about racial problems with hundreds of truck drivers I drove team with or spoke with at truck stops 1991 to 2002, most quickly informed me, "But I am part Indian." Being part Indian, you see, removes the need to be interested in the racial problems affecting white people. It's an escape. Most of the others simply tried to change the subject. Few were willing to engage in serious conversation, and many became agitated, even irate, because I always persisted. I can count on one hand the number willing to ride with me a second trip. We've all heard the cowardly alibi, "I get along with blacks just fine. Long as they don't bother me, I ain't gonna bother them." When you answer that alibi with, "But niggers rape tens of thousands of white women and violently assault over 1.5 million white people each year," or a similar answer, you get silence and that blank spotlighted deer look, followed by loss of eye contact and usually a quick exit. You've made him admit his cowardice and he despises you for it. But I do this anyhow. At least it forces him to change his alibi. The acknowledgement of white cowardice has driven literally tens of millions of white Americans to try to escape it by undergoing a voluntary human metamorphosis and becoming part Indian. 95% would become proven liars by a simple DNA test, but their children grow up believing the lie. Abandoning the white race means not having to fight for it or defend it in any way. A female newspaper reporter I know visited a Springfield, Missouri fourth grade classroom and asked the 30, or so, students which of them were pure white. Only 4 students raised their hands. Springfield is 94% white and of the best racial stock in the entire country. Part 3. Do you remember the famous O.J. Simpson Bronco ride on Los Angeles freeways? The world watched that parade on live TV. Simpson was then wanted for the brutal neck-slashing murder of his white wife, Nicole. The world watched thousands of white men and white women wave and cheer that nigger as he drove past, and gave him the thumbs up and shouted, "Go OJ go," even though they knew in their honest minds he was guilty and was even then fleeing the law. Some even jumped up and down in jubilation, like at a football game. So why did all those thousands of white men cheer O.J. Simpson? I'll tell you. They did so out of fear. Cheering was simply another demonstration of white survival strategy. Besides, the black spectators were cheering. Can't go against the blacks. It makes them angry. Must avoid confrontation at all cost. If we cheer, instead of boo, then we won't be taking a public stand detrimental to our good health, safety, and self-interests. It makes life easier. That incredible mass cowardice televised worldwide has never, to this day, ever been discussed, much less explained by any journalist, either TV or press, including Rush Limbaugh and Bill O'Reilly, or any other so-called no-spin reporter or politician. Bill Clinton proclaimed to thousands of white Oregon college students, "I'll be glad when whites are the minority," and was given loud cheers and applause. Not one boo. Not one protest. The President of the United States publicly acknowledged the ongoing genocide against the white race and said it was good. And the popular cultured, cowardly white mob agreed, enthusiastically. The slave mentality displayed by those white students is precisely the same as that displayed by the citizens of Oceania in George Orwell's 1984. The book and movie. Even active U.S. presidents are forced by Jew power to be cowards. I refer to the highly publicized taped conversation between Richard Nixon and Billy Graham. The audio tape of that 1972 conversation was kept secret for 30 years, then released in 2002 and reported by TV and the press worldwide. Graham to Nixon: "Unless the Jewish stranglehold on the media is broken, this country is going down the drain." Nixon whispers in reply: "Oh yes, I agree. But we must never let anyone know we know." There is a world of insight into Jew power over both the government and the media in just those two short sentences. Use common sense. The commander-in-chief of the most powerful nation on earth and the most prominent Protestant in the world both agree that 1. The Jews control the media and are using that control to drag America down the drain. And, 2, the U.S. president can't not even inform the U.S. Congress or the American people. In other words, the Jews are destroying our country, but the president of the U.S. and so-called leader of the free world was too terrified of the Jews to even talk about it in public. If this doesn't make your blood boil, then nothing ever will. Since the president of the U.S. was too terrified of the Jews to tell the truth about them, surely you don't expect senators, congressmen, legislators, generals, or Gentiles working for the Jewish media to. They are all forced to be cowards for fear of the Jews. Simple as that. Part 4. Therefore, never feel the least bit uncomfortable calling the U.S. government by its proper name, the Zionist Occupation Government, or ZOG for short. It's the only true name that fits. The 1972 Jewish stranglehold on the media has now, 31 years later, become a death grip on both the media and government. And so now you know why America is flooded with tens of millions of colored aliens, with tens of millions more on the way. Why millions of American jobs are moved to foreign countries. Why the government legalized the abortion murders of over 30 million white Gentile infants. Why faggots have been legalized. Why white Gentile Americans have become second-class citizens and discriminated against. Why Christian prayers and the Christian Bible were kicked out of public schools. Why the government and media work together to exterminate the white race. Why we fight and finance Jew wars to protect Israel and world Jewry. Why our government is turning us over to a one-world government. And all the other insanities that are destroying our freedoms, liberties, national sovereignty, and our very race. You also now know why there is virtually no white resistance to these insanities. The U.S. government is our enemy because it is controlled by Jews. Never forget it. Jew control of the government forces us to fight and finance Jew wars against Israel's enemies in the Middle East, while Jew control of the media convinces us we're fighting our own enemies and that Israel is doing us a favor by supporting us in these wars, and not the other way around. Behold again, the power of the Jews' media, the masters of the big lie. Jewish chutzpah knows no limits. Muslims murdered 2,800 Americans on 9-11 for one reason and one reason only: ZOG's one-sided support for Israel. Even before 9-11, ZOG had already murdered millions of Muslims. Hell, ZOG murdered over 500,000 Iraqi children alone by withholding foods and medicines through a decades-long sanction. ZOG killed over 200,000 Iraqis in the first few days of the Persian Gulf War in 1991. And countless hundreds of thousands more Arabs and Muslims since then in wars and bombings in Iraq and Afghanistan. ZOG murdered millions of them, but they only murdered 2,800 of us. Which part of this simple math don't you understand? What the hell did you expect them to do, sit around like the cowards we are, and wait for Zog to murder millions more without doing a little murdering of their own? Zog is making Israel's enemies America's enemies. Simple as that. Just as the Jews did prior to and during WW2, a Jew-created bloodbath that killed over 40 million white Gentiles, and a bloodbath we are required by the government and the Jews' media to glorify and celebrate even now. Not only are we not allowed to learn from history, we are not even allowed to know true history. True history is anti-Semitic, racist, therefore politically incorrect, and not to be taught or discussed in public. Part 5. Oh, how Whitey Joe Sixpack loves to hate Muslims. Muslims are the only colored people on earth the media and society allows Whitey to hate. In Whitey's programmed Twisted Mind, killing those colored Muslims in Iraq and Afghanistan is kind of like killing Negroes and Hispanics. Feels kinda good. The hating and killing of Muslims relieves a little bit of Whitey's feelings of shame and guilt for not standing up to Negroes and Hispanics here. See? See? We white men are fighting back against the coloreds. Hot diggity dog. Boy, we really shocked and awed them, didn't we? Just goes to show that our government really is ruled by white men. Hey, hey, hey. How about those bunker busters? That'll teach them not to mess with us. Hey, hey, hey. I'm gonna put an American flag on my bumper. That'll show 'em I support my government. Nuke them sons o' bitches. Whitey squatted in front of his TV, watched Zug's bombs dropping on Iraq and Afghanistan's women, children, and babies and felt like a big brave American man, while squealing with delight. Just like his daddy squealed when watching newsreels of Zug's bombs dropping on 1,000 German towns and cities during WW2. Whitey loves his Jew masters. Today Whitey cheers the destruction of the only governments and countries in the world with the guts to oppose the Jews and tell the truth about them. Whitey cheers for Zog while Zog commits genocide against Whitey's species and drags Whitey's country down the drain. The world has never before witnessed such pitiful, gullible, misguided fools. Muslims and Arabs hate Zog and the one world government so much they commit suicide attacks against them. Muslim/Arab victory over Israel and the Jews means liberation for us white men. It'll get the Jews off our backs, weaken them, and loosen their deadly grip on us. Praise the Arabs and the Muslims. They are the enemies of our Jew enemies, therefore our friends. They are fighting back courageously and practically disarmed against the most powerful, most dangerous, and the most deadly enemy the white man has ever had. Where, dear God, are the white men willing to voluntarily and intentionally give up their own lives of country and people, as Muslims do almost every day? Nowhere is white cowardice more blatantly proven than in America's jails and prisons. Outnumbered and locked in cages with blacks and Hispanics, Whitey's survival strategy kicks in and demands he kiss up. Taught by experience and good eyesight that white men seldom stick together in mutual self-defense, he surely does not expect to be greeted by strong white inmates willing to defend him. He knows the racial situation even before he gets there and, therefore, resigns himself to cowardice in order to get along and survive. And he soon discovers that white guards will not lend protection either. He feels all alone while black and Hispanic inmates, who surround him, are highly united by race, organized, and militantly aggressive. I quote from the 10th of February 01 Springfield, Missouri. News leader article written by black journalist Betty Bay of the Louisville, Kentucky. Courier Journal, she writes, one estimate is that more than 240,000 male prisoners are raped each year. Prison administrators sometimes facilitate rapes. In exchange for satisfying inmates' pent-up racial hatred and sexual energies, Administrators buy peace for their institutions and protection for their own staffers. Also of concern is the rapid spread of HIV and AIDS that are the results of prison sex. Nonviolent inmates may be sentenced to death by forced, violent rapes. Translation: since prisons and jails have been racially integrated for over 40 years, this means that literally millions of white men and boys have been raped by niggers, therein. Simple math, logic, common sense and the above revelation proves it. Virtually all prison interracial rapes are black on white. Black and Hispanic unity and militancy ensures it. Ununited, therefore, defenseless, the white inmate is easy prey. White prison guards and staff not only seldom intervene in prison rapes, but many help to facilitate the rapes, as Betty Bay reported. White inmates are terrified to report their own abuse for fear of being labeled a snitch, a fear well known by all inmates and guards who look the other way in their own self-interests and safety and in the interests of their bosses. Mustn't be seen as racist, especially by those strong and united African Americans, while they satisfy their pent-up racial hatreds and sexual energies. It's just not good for my safety or career. Besides, nobody makes a big deal about it. It's the status quo and has been going on for years. It's acceptable. It helps keep the peace. The media nor the politicians seem to care a damn. Why should I stick my neck out by making waves? Best to be like everybody else and pretend I don't know it's happening. Part 6. Most younger white inmates offer no resistance at all and soon become some niggers, ho, for protection from the others. Best to be raped by one, than by many. The hoes or bitches begin to act, walk, and dress feminine and are frequently rented out or sold. To maintain sanity and to prevent at least a small semblance of self-respect, the hoes pretend they like it all just fine. Occupied with their own safety and survival, stronger white inmates seldom, if ever, intervene. All white inmates, regardless of age or size, are referred to as white boys, even by each other. These young white men and boys serving years as hoes are, no doubt, raped by dozens and forced to perform oral sex hundreds of times. How many leave prison with AIDS or HIV? Since 10% of all inmates are infected, then the black rate must be double that, at the very least. There are millions of these formerly abused white inmates in society now. Since release from prison, few ever told a living soul because, 1. Shame and humiliation, 2. It seems to prove their cowardice, 3. They have been taught society doesn't care, and 4. The system wouldn't do anything about it even if they had reported it. The sick reality and extent of all this stresses the mind and causes doublethink among us white cowards. Doublethink is what we do when super depressing thoughts enter our minds. We think them in, then quickly think them out again. Whereas our forefathers would have stormed the prisons and hanged every nigger in them, we refuse to permit the outrages to stay in our heads for more than a few seconds. Behold, the power of the Jews' media over our minds, therefore over our actions or the lack thereof. Part 7. 50-60 years ago throughout the South, the sight of a black man with a white woman together in public caused a violent reaction from white men. Today, it barely raises an eyebrow, even in the Deep South. Back then, violent white reactions were expected. It was the status quo, the popular culture. White men were forced by society to act like men. Militant white racism was the national perception by blacks and whites alike. And it ensured an extremely low level of racial violence compared to today's. That national perception has been reversed. It is now the exact opposite. Blacks and Hispanics are now perceived to be the strong racists, defending race, manhood, and honor. So what caused society and perceptions to change so dramatically? Jew-wise activists know the answer to that question. Limited space here doesn't allow for a complete explanation. But in a word, it was the Jews' media, especially television. The media, and only the media, is capable of changing national perceptions, cultures, and societal status quos. Those OG did its part also. Have you forgotten, for example, armed federal troops with bayonets throughout the South forcing little white girls to go to school with Negroes? Beginning in the 1960s, the Jews' media created the pacifist hippie culture for white youth, and a militant culture for the blacks. The white population was divided and the black population was brought together. While blacks were rioting, looting, raping, assaulting and burning, white youth were either tuning into drugs and wearing flowers in their hair, or demonstrating against white racism and the Vietnam War, or both. The Jews' media gave our youth the Beatles, the Monkees, the Beach Boys and hundreds of other cowardly, wimpy, make-love-not-war celebrities to emulate. Consequently, the more militant blacks became, the more whites kissed up to them. A cowardly and outrageous planned and orchestrated phenomena that has continued, even increased to this very day. The very undeniable fact that Jews dominate the American media, and have increasingly for the entire 20th century, makes them the architects of white cowardice and black militancy, as well as all other social and political changes in our society. The Jews' media controls minds, therefore actions or the lack of actions. The Jews' media incited, inflamed, then sicked the Negroes on us while effectively holding our hands behind our backs, and both at the same time. While filling up America with tens of millions of foreign colored aliens, Zog passes hate crime and ethnic intimidation laws to suppress our resistance, while the Jews' media screams to us daily that race mixing is wonderful, and that those who disagree are haters, racists, and bigots. Plenty of extra room in America has been created by the abortion deaths of 30 million white infants since 1973, and by the Jews' media's creation of white popular culture, sex, drugs, ampersand rock and roll, inconducive to white procreation sufficient to maintain our population number. We buy almost twice as many caskets as cradles. Think about that for a minute. Twice as many caskets as cradles. The white race is dying out and only the blind or retarded fail to see it. The Jews are committing international and methodical genocide against the white race. Every national politician knows it but are too cowardly to speak publicly of it. And white Gentile journalists are the biggest cowardly lemmings of all, especially those who own or run small-town newspapers. None, for fear of the Jews, dares to speak or write of Jewish genocide against their own white race and children's. They care more for their own safety, pocketbooks, and immediate self-interests, than for their own child's future, an undeniable fact even they admit when you pin them down with simple statistics and facts. Part 8. We know the world's colored population increases by 90 million yearly. We also know the world's white population decreases, my own estimate is by 20 million, making an added yearly gap of about 110 million. The Jews' media never reports the extent of our decrease, you'll note. Jew TV commentator Ben Wittenberg, and others, say that the world's growing population will level off at 9 billion, up from over just 6 billion today. Since we are decreasing, that means that 100% of the increase is colored. Whites are now outnumbered 12-1 by coloreds worldwide. And we're dropping rapidly thanks to Jewish domination over us. Can you not see what life will be like for us and our children inside a one-world, democratic government? Our death is not only rapid but accelerating, and for the following reasons: 1. Jewish hatred and vengeance. 2. To make the world safe for international Jewish criminals, and 3. To usher in the one-world government global slave plantation police state, ruled by Jews and managed by their highly paid Gentile puppets of all colors. This so-called democratic system has demanded white cowardice ever since the so-called democratic government forced racial integration upon us against the will of the democratic white majority. White cowardice is in the best interest of this society because it prevents widespread disorder and lawlessness. It's good for business. Black violence and lawlessness is tenable. Black plus white violence and lawlessness is not, and if allowed would result in societal chaos, economic collapse and consequent race wars. Therefore, attempts to unite and organize whites, even in self-defense, have been vigorously suppressed by all governmental means necessary, including the FBI's now famous COINTELPRO. The demands for white cowardice are everywhere. In public schools, colleges, the military, workplaces, in the streets, public places. But not as of yet in our homes. School teachers, for example, almost always take the side of a black or Hispanic student when a racial confrontation has taken place, as do principals. It's in their self-interest. It's the easiest and only acceptable way to maintain order. White officers and incos in the military react to racial conflicts in the very same cowardly way. It makes their job easier and is good for their careers. To be fair and impartial will bring suspicions of racism, a career-threatening prospect. Besides, whites seldom complain. Blacks and Hispanics almost always do. Best to take the judiciary route of least resistance. The system's 40-year enforcement of white cowardice has caused this illness to become acceptable status quo everywhere. It's what's expected. It's good for America and for business. My God, just think of the alternative if whites actually stood up and fought back for equality and equal justice, or even to defend each other. There'd be hell to pay. So thought by system leaders. And they are right. White men must be held down for reasons of national security and to keep the system intact and running smoothly. And of course, to keep the present cabal of Jews and their Gentile whores in power. The system not only demands white cowardice, but vigorously enforces white cowardice, and has for so long, that it has taken for granted by all ethnic groups everywhere. The whole country has gotten used to white cowardice, and most people, especially white women, like it just fine. It keeps the peace and allows for prosperity, foreign investments, and the illusion of tenable law and order. White cowardice has not, as of yet anyway, been addressed by the Jews media. You can bet your butt it will be when the big Jews deem it advantageous to their agenda. But for now, best not to make it a public issue. Mustn't cause Whitey to think for himself or to take a good look at himself. Some white men might be so nauseated by what they see and by having their noses rubbed into it on TV, they'll be shamed into actions detrimental to the Jews, like joining a white rights organization, for example. Or actions far more radical. Part 9. Solutions? I remember the sight of camouflage-uniformed white Patriot Party members marching through towns and cities, carrying rebel flags, and shouting, "White power!" and "White victory!" at the tops of their lungs as "Dixie" and "War Songs of the Third Reich" blared from loudspeakers. Backed up by hundreds of these brave men, Steve Miller, Cecil Cox, Charlie Reck, Gordon Ippock, myself and many others, even atop the steps of the state capitol in Raleigh, screamed white truths right into the faces of Jews, Negroes, and communists, who did not dare interfere with us. There were no cowards in our ranks during those gatherings, only united, determined, fed-up white men acting and speaking as white men should. 100 times we came together in public marches, rallies, and demonstrations, and not one black, brown, or Jew hand was ever placed on even one of us during those 6 years. White courage is infectious. It can spread rapidly. It inspires, shows resistance, and gives hope. The WPP doubled in number our final 7 months from 2,500 to over 5,000. That momentum of growth would have continued, but for a few mistakes I made, as leader mistakes that can be avoided by others now and in the future. Our forefathers were absolutely right to be racists and to discriminate in favor of themselves. That racism and discrimination ensured racial security, prosperity, and racial survival and procreation. Zog and the Jews media tricked us and shamed us out of our racism shame that has weakened us and divided us as a people, therefore cowards, unwilling to resist Jewish enslavement and genocide. We have gone from the very top of the pecking order to the bottom thanks to culture changes and Jews media propaganda these past 40, or more, years, which methodically and conspiratorially put us on the bottom while the Jews carry out their campaigns of genocide against us, and enslave Gentile humanity inside a one-world Jew government. The Jews, Negroes, Hispanics, and Asians love our cowardice. They simply adore it. Our cowardice keeps us down and them up. They all know that racial unity means racial security, a fact of human nature we ourselves know as well, but are too cowardly to demonstrate. It is wrong, counterproductive, and defeatist to make judgment on our people based on observations of white people you see around you now. Drugged, diseased, guilt-ridden, perverted, obese, cowardly, vulgar, dumbed down, decadent, materialistic, apathetic and selfish. Our people are this way because the Jews made us this way, therefore our people should be pitied, not despised. Despise the Jew viruses, not those whom the viruses sicken and destroy. Our people are the way they are now because the Jews made us this way and is the cause of so much misery and unhappiness among us. You must come to understand this irrefutable fact of white life and culture. Do not judge the white man by what the white man has become, but rather what the white man has been in the past, and by what we, therefore, know the white man can become in the future. What we can become is cemented in our genes. We know we can become just as our forefathers knew what they were. We are different from them only in our confused, twisted, programmed brains, made that way by the Jews. Yes, we know what we are, every last red-necked, thin-lipped, big-brained one of us. Just as the men of our race who conquered 3 million square miles of American wilderness, the men of our race who fought on the plains of Bull Run, at Stalingrad, at the Alamo, in the American Revolution, and in the freezing snows of southern Russia, knew what they were. The thousands of years of our glorious history proves what we can be, once again. Remember, we are not alone in our struggle against the Zionist Jew supremacists. Never since WW2 have the Jews been as vulnerable to exposure as they are now. Finally, the world is awakening, especially the world's 1.3 billion Muslims and Arabs. We are not alone. And so, come together now with your friends and kinfolks and practice racial unity. Hold meetings and invite others. Join an organization together, or start your own. Distribute literature to inspire and educate others. Families will join families. Kin will join kin. Communities will join communities. Then counties, towns, cities and states, until we are free from the parasitic, Satanist Zionist Jews who rule over us and lead us towards racial oblivion, drowned forever in a sea of color. Unite, organize, educate. Expose the Jews. Those who refuse to heed this call of the blood admit they accept permanent cowardice and doom their own genes to extinction, mixed and destroyed forever, inside future generations of mud-colored, kinky-headed, mongrel beings, raceless and leaderless creatures, forever unable and unwilling to resist permanent communist Bolshevik enslavement to the Jews. Mirror images of that Gentile future can be seen now in the ghettos and garbage piles of Calcutta and Mexico City, even inside the dungeons of America's Negro/Hispanic-infested prisons, and in the true history of the Jew-run gulags of Siberia. Those torments and insanities are your prosperity's future unless we come together and throw off the chains of Jew rule and oppression. Conclusion. Conclusions, it is only a half-truth, and therefore, a half-lie to say, yes, I'm a coward and ashamed of it. But, it is 100% truth to say, yes, I'm a coward because this Jew government and Jew society forces me to be a coward. The white race outnumbers all other races combined in the U.S. and the other races are, by no means, united. We are 70% of the U.S. population. We have freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to seek redress of our grievances, and the freedom to bear arms to defend ourselves and these rights. What the hell more do we need except the guts to exercise these freedoms? There are no reasons other than our own cowardice and false perceptions why we cannot come together in our millions into white rights organizations. There is nothing the Jews and coloreds fear more than for white men to admit cowardice for the purpose of joining together to change ourselves. Alone, we'll remain defenseless cowards. United, we can begin to throw off the chains of cowardice and restore our manhood, honor, dignity, and the respect of our women and children. If it is our self-imposed fate to remain irreversible cowards, then our race does not deserve to live, much less survive. In her divine wisdom, Mother Nature demands that cowardly species become extinct. Even rats and virus bugs fight to defend their space, and for their right to procreate what they are. But as we are now, the sooner we die out, the better off this world will be, an undeniable fact of nature, proven throughout the natural order imposed on this planet, the natural order that has always weeded out, through extinction, cowardly species one day or another to benefit the fittest. Again, do not despise or even look down on the masses of our people. The Jews' media, Jew culture, Jew political correctness, and this Jew government has led our people, like gullible cows with rings in their noses, into filth, decadence, cowardice and the selfish indulgences of satisfying only their bellies, pocketbooks, and genitals. It is the Zionist Jewish supremacists who pumped these germs and poisons into them. To blame white people is to blame the victims. Instead, despise the disease spreaders, not those whom the diseases sicken. Despise the Jew parasites. Not the bodies, minds, and souls that these Jew parasites attach themselves to and suck the life's blood from their unsuspecting victims, draining their sap, strength and very will to resist. And so, let us come together. Reality proves we have no other honorable choice. One day we can be free again. We can be men again. Then our sons and daughters and our future generations will be able to scream triumphantly from their hearts, "This God is my God. This people are my people. This land is my land. And these we will defend. One God, one race, one nation. Great God Almighty, let it be so."